This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. How transparent is our state government? North Carolina law gives anyone the right to attend government meetings or file a public information request, but sometimes accessing government information is harder than it should be. Exceptions, fees, and delays can get in the way. Well, this is Sunshine Week, an annual celebration of transparency in government. This year, reporters from various news organizations across the state collaborated to write stories about open government. Jason DeBruin was one of them. He's a data reporter for WNC, and he joins me in the studio now. Hello, Jason.
Hi, Frank.
Also with us in this conversation, attorney Hugh Stevens, general counsel to the North Carolina Press Association for more than 20 years, also founding member and past president of the North Carolina Open Government Coalition. Welcome back, Hugh.
Always good to be here, Frank.
Jason, let me start with you. Talk about the story that you worked on closed meetings for Sunshine Week.
Right. So we look specifically at local governments and also a few statewide agencies that hold regular meetings. Of course, we know when they hold their regular sessions. At various times, they go into what's called closed session, where the public has to leave and they're allowed for a number of reasons to discuss things in closed session. We weren't trying to challenge the, you know, right for them to do that. We were just saying that at some point after you have these closed sessions, let's say for an attorney-client privilege or you're looking to buy some property or whatever, when that issue has been resolved, those minutes from those closed sessions then become public record. So we requested the closed session meeting minutes from any closed session held in 2017. And there were 10 organizations, as you said, across the state. So we made the request from, you know, the Chapel Hill City Council, the Raleigh City Council, the Mecklenburg Board of Commissioners, a number of organizations across the state.
And what'd you find?
Well, we really found a pretty big disparity. In some cases, cities and county governments were actually pretty quick to turn over records. I'll give the Durham City Council some props here, because within a matter of hours, they turned over some records. But unfortunately, in some cases, the records were heavily redacted or some meetings weren't included at all. And in addition to that, I should say, there were, you know, other governments that still haven't given over any records, even though we made this request back in January. So what we found is that even months after making a request, in some or even many cases, these closed session, what happened in these closed sessions is still hidden from public view.
Hugh Stevens, you've been looking at this for quite a while in the state of North Carolina. Any sense of a trend, things getting better or worse when it comes to transparency?
It varies a lot from one level of government to another. As Jason said, we have some cities or counties that I could commend for their transparency. They adhere very closely to the open meetings and public records laws. Others seem almost unaware of their existence, and there's no rhyme or reason to it, although I would say generally that the larger cities and counties have a better infrastructure, larger staffs, better trained and experienced attorneys and so forth, generally are more compliant than the rural counties or small towns.
And sometimes, as you say, that's a matter of resources. It's difficult to get at it, and maybe it's just the way they organize their records, right?
It can be. It can be as simple as, for example, I had a situation a few years ago in which I represented some clients who were trying to get records from Stanley County, which is a kind of an interesting county because it's close to the metropolitan area of Charlotte, but yet it's kind of a hole in the media world. There's not much coverage of what goes on there, and the county government tended to function pretty much without any oversight. And they were willing to turn over the records that we wanted, but they simply didn't have the technological means to retrieve them in any kind of timely basis.
And Jason? Certainly that's true what he's saying. We found the same thing, that with some of the rural areas, there were just more hurdles to getting the records. But that's not to let any of the bigger cities off the hook. Durham County, for example, it's not the city but the county, Mecklenburg County and Cumberland County were organizations that this news collaboration made requests of. For those organizations, we still don't have records. So certainly these bigger cities or these bigger governments with the technological infrastructure in place were also slow to respond.
Now, in some cases, the people in power have been making it more difficult. Governor McCrory recently made headlines, former Governor McCrory, because while he was in office, he was imposing fees for asking for any records that would be turned up, and actually blamed got political about it and was delaying the release of certain records, claiming that the people who wanted them was, quote, a coalition of liberal organizations, and therefore delayed the process and finally lost the lawsuit.
Right. And I'm sensitive to, you know, sort of the technical things that he's saying. I mean, news organizations do sometimes make rather large requests, and this takes time, this takes staff, and, you know, ultimately, if you have to print the documents out, this takes money. And so, I mean, I think it's fair for governments to request, and this is important, a reasonable amount of time and a reasonable fee from news organizations to produce these records. The thing with the McCrory administration was that the time that they needed to turn over these records and the cost that they were looking to apply to the records was well in excess of what anybody would consider, quote unquote, reasonable.
The current governor, Cooper, has decided to change that policy, or at least has proposed a change, and would charge only the cost of producing the documents to those agencies looking for the work. Would that make things better, Hugh, or does that really make a difference?
In my view, that's exactly what the law requires. And as you mentioned, a number of organizations, and not just news media organizations, ultimately sued the McCrory administration over their concerted and repeated practices of charging what we thought were unauthorized fees, but also their delay. Sometimes they would simply ignore a public records request for a long time. And many times delay is tantamount to denial, because if you can't get a record on a timely basis in order to use it for whatever purpose you need it, then you may as well not ever get it at all.
Well, if you find a politician of whatever party is up to no good and you can't get it till after the election, doesn't help.
Well, it was even more than that. One of the groups that joined that suit was the Southern Environmental Law Center. And their concern was they were being in a position where they wanted to comment on certain activities of the state government, and they would ask for records so that they could be fully apprised of what the state government was doing, and the comment period would expire before they got the records.
So what do you do about that? When that happens, you file suit, obviously, but then that takes time, right?
And it does. In that particular instance, Governor McCrory and his cabinet went out of office, and we were able to settle the case with the incoming administration, the Cooper administration, and also to collect $250,000 in attorney fees, which, frankly, the taxpayer should never have had to pay, because if they had complied with the law in the first place, the suit would have been unnecessary.
Jason, you've been a data reporter and digging into this stuff. There was a Triangle Business Journal. Now you're here, and this has been your bread and butter. I mean, the good news is that there are a lot of just databases out there that are available that we can mine, and if, you know, news organizations or individuals take the time, there's a lot of information out there, right?
That is so true, and as technology has improved, some of this data is much more readily available, but that doesn't mean that everything is, and certainly sometimes I still have to make records requests. And I would say that in my career making these records requests, again, it sort of runs the gamut of organizations, you know, within state government or local governments that are quick to respond and try to get you what you need, and others look only to apparently delay turning over what you're asking for. I'll give you maybe a good example. Commerce Department, we hear all the time when Commerce has new jobs to announce, but of course we don't hear whenever Commerce has sought to bring a company to North Carolina but then ultimately lost that to another state. You know, we hear about the massive ones, most recently Mazda going to Alabama, but you don't hear about a lot of the smaller ones. So it took me close to 6 months of repeatedly working with Commerce Department to turn over some records that showed which companies they had gone after but ultimately lost. That ended up being quite a good story, but that's a perfect example of where I had to stay on the department public information officer, you know, week after week for a really long period of time before those records were turned over.
You've been at this for a while. What are some of the more common tricks that those in power might use should they not be so inclined to turn over the documents?
Well, I think a lot of it is just delay or saying they don't have the resources to retrieve the records on a timely basis. I'd like to mention one thing, though, Frank, and to shout out, give a shout out to North Carolina Public Radio about something. You know, government transparency is not just an issue in the executive and legislative branches. It can happen in the judicial branch, too. And so the Fayetteville Observer is currently working hard and has brought an action to try to unseal a civil case file in Cumberland County that's completely sealed. The names of the parties are not known. The names of the attorneys are not known. The issues that are not known. We have some suspicions about what it relates to. The Observer brought suit filed a motion to unseal. That was unsuccessful. The trial judge kept the record completely sealed, so the case has gone to the North Carolina Court of Appeals. And WUNC has joined with a number of other groups to file an amicus brief to try to unseal that, because our court system needs to be transparent just as much as the executive branch or the legislative branch.
I want to thank you both for being on our program today. Hugh Stevens is an attorney who has offered legal counsel to media companies for many years. Advocating for government transparency is part of Sunshine Week. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Hugh.
Always a pleasure to be here.
And Jason DeBruin, a data reporter for WUNC. Thanks, Jason.
You're welcome.
You can find links to their work at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we learn about the first March on Washington for women in the fight for women's right to vote. We'll talk about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.